Joshua chapter 7, we continue our study this morning, the book of Joshua. This morning, last Sunday, was failure. This Sunday is recovering from failure. And we're going to be looking, first of all, in Joshua chapter 7. We're going to read verses 10 through 12, then we're going to skip down to Joshua chapter 8 and read the first 8 verses of Joshua chapter 8. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face?" We'll stop right here for just a moment to give you the background. Prior to this, Israel has gone to battle to face the city of Ai. Before they went to battle, they didn't bother to seek the guidance of God. They went under their own wisdom. They went out to battle against Ai and fled before the enemy in absolute defeat. So Joshua and the elders of Israel have torn their clothes, and put ashes on their head. And now God asks this question as they're lying on the ground. And in verse 10, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you.'" Now, as we leave this verse, we go through and we find where a man named Achan had committed this sin by taking silver and gold from Jericho, and he stole it. He buried it in his tent. And so it was revealed who it was. And Achan and his family had been stoned. They took care of the sin problem. And then in verse chapter 8, verse 1, after all that had been taken care of, "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given you the land, the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its kings. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as a booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it.' So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, 'Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we've drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them.' Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord. You shall do. See, I have commanded you." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin this morning by reminding you that we all experience failure. Have you ever experienced failure yourself? Amen. We all fail. I'm reminded of the failures of great men of the Bible. The Apostle Peter, who insisted, "Jesus, I'll never deny you," and three times denied Jesus Christ in one night. Three times in one night. Great man like the Apostle Peter. Great man like David. King David. who was a man after God's own heart, yet he was guilty of lying, murder, adultery. Boy, he took a turn, didn't he? He failed. Today, I want to just talk to you about your failure. Where are you going to go from here? I believe that there are no doubt people within this service this morning who have experienced failure. And I believe that there are people here that are going to have to make up their mind what they're going to do from this point forward. That's how you respond to failure. You see, there are basically two choices when you fail. And as I said, we've all experienced failure. And we'll probably all experience some more failure as long as we're walking upon this earth. But you got two choices as you fail. Choice number one, give up, quit, wallow in self-pity and just stay where you are and regret the rest of your life. Or number two, you can recover. See, that's what God's dealing with Israel here when he gives them the instruction in chapter 7, verse 10. He said, get up. Get up. And I want you to be reminded of the way they were feeling. Joshua and the elders, of course, were in a state of tremendous depression. They had lost the battle. And this was their first loss, as I shared with you last week. But Joshua, he's fallen to the ground and they're crying out, Lord, why did you bring us here? Lord, you see how uncertain he is. Lord, I don't get it. Lord, what do we do now? Lord, the Canaanites are going to destroy us. We've lost this one battle. We can lose more. Lord, we've ran before our enemy. Oh, Lord. And you see this guy in Joshua who's experienced an extreme disappointing failure. And quite honestly, he's just wallowing in self-pity at this point, crying out to God. And listen, that's the normal response. You ever been there? I'm talking about the big failures when you just get out on your knees and, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand, Lord, why I'm here. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand, you know. And we go through and we experience those emotions of uncertainty, fear, shame as our hearts break. Not only do our hearts break, but other hearts break because of our failure. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week. Our failure is not restricted to us. It usually affects the lives of other people. So a lot of hearts break. It's okay. That's normal. The reason hearts break is because boundaries are crossed and that's not working. The reason hearts break, and I want to remind you, usually the reason we fail is because of bad choices we personally make. You know, I've come to figure out I make my own messes. Are you like that? I can look back and say, boy, I made a mess of that. Israel, it said in verse 11, chapter 7, verse 11, God said, get up. Israel has sinned and transgressed the law, my law. That word transgress, the interesting word, it literally means to cross a boundary. So as God tells him, you know, don't sit here and wallow in self-pity. Get up. The problem is that Israel has crossed a line. They've crossed a boundary. And they failed. And as you're considering where you are in your failure, I want to challenge you to honestly evaluate why you failed. Okay? Like I say, most of the time I'm my own worst enemy. I'm reminded how the Bible says you shall reap what you sow. Sometimes I sow some really bad crops. And it comes back and I don't have a crop failure, and that's disappointing. So at this point, I want to just invite you to take a moment to be honest with God and consider why you are where you are. Okay? Be honest. Don't blame everyone else. Okay? That's the fun part. I have the trouble I have because of... And there may have been circumstances that contributed to where you are, but the bottom line is, you're probably where you are because you crossed a boundary. Because you crossed a line that God had made plain through His Word, and in your life you had no business crossing. So be honest. And then, after you've experienced the emotion of broken heart, after you've experienced the ownership of taking responsibility for your failure, then I want you to be bold. Okay? I want you to take the first step in recovering from failure. And I want you to understand, have you ever seen people who just wallow in self-pity? Don't you love to hear that? Don't you love to watch as people experience pain, hurt, tears, regret, guilt, and never seem to get over it? I've often heard people say, well, you know, I just need a good cry. Well, a good cry is great, but understand, after you have the good cry, nothing has changed. You can stay in the failure, in the emotion, and I know in the world of religion, emotion seems to be stressed really highly today, but I want to tell you, emotion's not all it's cracked up to be. Emotion does not change anything. Tears do not change anything. What you have to do is you have to be bold enough to back up and say, okay, yes, I have failed. Okay, yes, here's the line that I crossed. But by the grace and the strength of Almighty God, I will not stay here and wallow in my failure. You see, as he's pulling Israel from that point. So what am I trying to get you? Get up. You failed. Yes. Feel sorry for yourself a little while, but don't stay there. Get up. Yes. Regret your sin, but don't stay there. Get up. Because if you never get up, you'll never recover from the failure. Okay. And the wonderful thing about being a child of God is God is a God of second chances. You know? He does not stop when you mess up. And I praise God for that, because I've got quite an agenda of mess ups in my past. You know? It's okay. It's all right. To take the first step. Get up. And decide, I'm not going to stay here any longer. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to go up. I want you to have, number one, confidence in the God that you serve. Okay? If you'll notice in chapter 8, after they went through the get up, in chapter 8, verse 1, God said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given you into your hand the king of Ai and the people. God said, number one, don't be afraid. You know what it is to be afraid? It means to dread. Actually, this word in the Hebrew means to dread impending disaster. And the idea is that you approach something with the idea of, I know I can't win, but I'm going to fight this battle anyway. No. No. Time to renew your confidence. I remind you that it was not your God who failed. It was you who failed. Okay? God has never failed, nor will He ever fail. He never loses. Your God is the same today as He was yesterday. And yes, He realizes your imperfections. Yes, He realizes your failure. But understand this, after you take care of that sin and get things right with God and repair that spiritual relationship from boundaries you have crossed, you are back with the God who can do anything and put your life back together. Okay? See, that's what recovering from failure is about. It's about putting things back together. Well, I'm going to give it a try, Brother Doug. If you ever do marriage counseling, I've often heard, well, I'll try it, but I don't think it'll do any good. That's what being afraid is. You know, it's just, okay. No. No. If you're going to recover, you're going to recover knowing that the God you serve is the same God that you've always served, and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be not afraid, God said. Be not dismayed. Literally, that means to deprive of the initiative to go forward. See, fear is the first step of failure. And then being dismayed is the lid on the coffin. What happens? We get afraid. It won't do any good. Well, I'm not going to try it anyway. How many times have you heard people coming off of spiritual failures? I'll never do that again. I'll never get involved in church again. I'll never teach another Sunday school class. I'll never get involved with youth group again. I'll never witness again. I'll never. Why? Why? Why will you never? Well, Brother Doug, you just don't understand. I failed. You failed. That's it. You failed. Your God did not fail. Do not come off a failure back up and start listing what you will not do. Do you realize, as children of Israel, as the children of Israel are going back into battle here, this is the same God, this is the same promised land, this is the same army that beat them before. They cannot afford to be afraid. They cannot afford to be dismayed. All they can afford to is to pick themselves, get up, go out and whoop the enemy this time. And you're the same way. You fail. Okay. Good news, God's a God of forgiveness. Okay? God's not through with you. In chapter 8, I love verse 1. God said, I've given into your hand the king of Ai. I've given it to you. Now go get it. There's coming a point. You may not be at that point of failure today. Maybe things are all right, but I want to tell you, one of these days, you're going to come to the point where you need to remember this. Because see, it's at this stage that people just quit. And one of the saddest things is to watch people quit God. You know? Number one, renew your confidence in the God that has called you. Number two, restore cooperation. If you read there again in verse 1, it's a little different this time. The Lord said to Joshua, and in chapter 7, the first time they went out, you don't see that until, you don't see that. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, do not be afraid nor dismayed. And that next line, it says, take all the people of war. Last time, do you remember last week as we examined their battle plan and the spies went out to spy out the city of Ai and they come back and say, oh, there are not very many of them. Don't trouble everybody. Just take 2,000 or 3,000 folks, 3,000 or 4,000 folks, and we'll go down and we'll give them a whooping and wipe them off the face of the earth and everything will be good. But don't bother everybody. This time, as God says, okay, we're going to do this thing right. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And you take everybody with you. Take everybody with you. Wonder why? Because it was never intended to be a one-man army. It was never intended to be ruled or battles fought by small groups. These were God's chosen people who were going in to take this land. And it required the participation of all of God's people. You know, I've come to realize you won't have much appreciation for something in which you have no investment. You ever notice that? See, we're living in an age today where church to a lot of people is to show up and sit down and say, okay, what's in it for me? Feed me, minister to me, fill me. That's not what church is supposed to be. Okay? It's not about what you get. It's about what you give. All right? Church is about serving. And let me tell you something. The one thing that I'm encouraged about Victory Baptist Church is that the heart of the people here is to serve. And there is a desire among our membership to serve. My challenge to you is this. Understand that we need everyone's participation. Because if we're going to grow, if we're going to go reach our world, we don't need to spend all our time looking behind us saying, y'all come on back, y'all come on up, come on, let's get y'all join the group. No, what I'm saying, get on board. Get on board. Give you an example. You know, preachers always have examples, don't we? I've made challenges. You have three major challenges. Number one, spy out the land. Did you spy out the land? Did you go and look places that you've not been before? If not, why not? Well, Brother Doug, that's not for me. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe that's not for you. Second thing that I challenged you to do was to attend Sunday school through the month of February. Did you do that? Did you do that? Huh? Why not? Well, Brother Doug, I'm not much for Sunday school. Really? You're not much for a lot, are you? You see a pattern here? You see, if you never become involved, if you never participate, you can't expect to grow. Guess what we started last week? Buy home Bible studies. The challenge was twice a week, roughly 15 minutes, spending time with your family in Bible study twice a week. Did you do that? Well, Brother Doug, no. Why not? Do you realize if you don't participate, you will not grow? It won't happen. Let me ask you this. Did you put your commitments on the grow wall? Remember? As we made these commitments, I told you, write them down, put them on the wall. Well, why do you want me to do that, Brother Doug? Well, first of all, there's a certain amount of accountability there. But Brother Doug, that's why I didn't write it down. I know. I know. Write it down. Put it down on the wall. I wrote mine down. Beth and I, you know, we're going to have family devotions twice a week through the month of March. I wrote it down, put it on the wall. Did you? Why not? You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the end of March, to the last week of March, when I can take that grow stamp and stamp it as done. You know what that's... You see, the motivation is that, Lord, I want to accomplish something for you. I want to grow. And see, that's what this is about. My challenge, kind of derailed the train there for just a little bit, but I want you to see, listen, if you're not involved, if there's not a cooperative effort, there's not going to be church growth. Okay? You're needed. For whatever reason that you're not involved, get rid of that reason and get involved so that you'll find yourself growing. Then finally, you got to revive the campaign. I love the battle plan. The battle plan of God in Joshua chapter 8. He told Joshua, here's how we're going to do it. This time you're going to take 30,000 men and you're going to set them behind the city of Ai. And then you're going to take 5,000 more men and you're going to put them on the north side between the city of Bethel and Ai, so that if the people of Bethel come out, those guys are going to take care of Bethel. And then you're going to take your man and you're going to approach from the front. Beautiful battle plan. And when you approach from the front, they're going to see you coming, and the men of Ai are going to be ready for you. They're going to come out of the city and they're going to fight you. Joshua, here's what I want you to do. When they come out of the city, I want you to run like you did last time. Turn your men around and retreat. What they're going to do is they're going to follow you. And they're going to chase you as they did before. And so as you're running away from the city and they're running to catch you, those guys behind the city, those 30,000 men are going to go into the city and burn it. when you see the fire of the city, the smoke of the city rising, then I want you to turn around and go back and fight the enemy. Fight the men of Ai. After those 30,000 men finished setting the city on fire, I want them to come out and approach Ai from the back. And what happened was, it's great, it's beautiful. Joshua ran, and once he saw the fire, he turned the men around, and they start back to fight the men of Ai. Then the 30,000 are approaching from behind, and they just squished them. That's a military term, squished. You know that? Okay, it's a preacher word. But they destroyed the enemy. Beautiful plan. Worked so well. Given by God. There's a military term or a military phrase that I've heard several times. That phrase is, "I've got your six." The men of Ai found themselves surrounded. That military term, "I've got your six," it means that you can press forward, brother, because I got your back. You see, it's not those things so often that we see coming that cause us to fail. So often it's those things that we don't see coming. Sneak up on us from behind. Catch us off guard and just throw us off track. Here's a really, really important tool in recovering from failure. Beloved, we need one another. We need people who will say, "I got your back." You know what? There's not a soul in here who hasn't failed. There's not a person in here who is without sin. There's not a person in here that's any better than anybody else. But every person in here needs to have the back of his brethren in this church. Yeah, you may see me stumble. Don't kick me when I'm down. Don't stomp on me. Don't trash my name. "Oh, I knew that preacher wasn't the real deal." You know, don't do that. Pick me up. Pick me up. Help me get back right to a right relationship with God. Have my six. Okay? Help me. We need one another. You go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. You know why? Because, beloved, there's some tough battles out there we got to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's tough out there. There are a lot of temptations to fail. There are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of enemies. And I'll tell you right now, Satan does not fight fair. But here's what Satan does need to know. Satan does need to know that if he picks on one member of Victory Baptist Church, he's got to deal with all of us. He needs to know that when he deals with all of us, he's dealing with a praying people. People who love one another enough that they're going to have their brother six, in that they're going to lift him up before the Lord continually for his recovery. He needs to know that there are people in this church that when a brother does fall and a brother does fail, that instead of kicking him while they're down, that they're going to be there picking that brother up, saying, "I love you, come on, let's press forward." See, that's the people of Victory. Satan needs to know that when he walks about as his roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that if he tries to devour Brother Michael, he's going to have 20 deacons, three pastors, and a whole 300, 400 church members standing by his side and say, you got to get through us first. Amen. You know, we need one another. We need one another. I think that's probably one of the greatest keys to recovery, is not fighting the battle alone. And listen, I know, if you're a child of God, you're not alone. God is with you. God is your strength. He is your strong tower. He will see you through. And I understand, if I have God, I have all that I need. But I want to tell you, it's also a big encouragement to have you, that we have one another. We need one another. You may be here today and you've experienced, you know, you're battling failure and you don't know where to go from here. Listen, I want to tell you, it's going to be all right. Maybe it's time you just get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself, get back in the battle. Maybe you're here today and you've been beaten, knocked down, and you've even had some Christians, some so-called Christians, who while you were down took a shot at you. Time to get up. I can promise you, that this church will do their very best to scripturally help you recover. Get up. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So my friend, today's the day. Listen. Life's not worth living without Jesus. Are you a child of God? If not, take God at His Word. And in His Word, John 3:16, we're told that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Have you placed your faith and confidence in Jesus? My invitation is this today. Don't live in failure. Get up and do something about it today. Today. Don't waste any more time. Respond as God convicts. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the reminder in your word. And we may have failure in this life, but we don't have to live in failure. That, Lord, I pray today for those who have experienced failure, for those that are going through failure, that today they'll take that first step to get up, to respond to you, and get back in the battle. I pray for us as a church, Lord, that we'll be the loving church you've called us to be. That we'll dare not kick a man while he's down, but rather, Lord, help to lift him up. That we'll bear one another's burdens. Lord, I pray that in this invitation, your will be done. In Jesus' name.